We also have Bruce Marshall on the phone. We're going to head to him right now out in Vegas. Bruce, it's National Signing Day. How are you?
Hey, well, I just waiting on pins and needles like everybody else to see what happens today. But recovering from the Super Bowl as well out here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, what a game.
It was, and the sports books, man, things went crazy because right at the end there was a dip, and the money sort of moved back towards Seattle at the end. But there was most books, Seattle closed a one-point favorite. But so much money changed hands, and which is normal for these games, but especially at the end of the first half, the bad beat, I think, of the day was those who bet under in the first half, 24 and a half. That looked a sure winner. Three TDs in the last 2:16 of the half, though, changed all of that. And, of course, at the end of the game, a lot of money obviously changed hands in that last sequence. There, they made a little bit of money in Las Vegas. They would have made more, apparently, if Seattle would have won. There ended up being more money bet on New England, and more of the parlay seemed to cash with New England. But they still made a turn to profit here in the Las Vegas books. And they said officially about $116 million wagered in the Las Vegas books, which was just a tick underneath what Seattle and Denver did last year.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Was it more the public had bet on the Patriots, or was it more the sharps as far as the big money bet on the Patriots?
I think more the public, Matt. That seemed to be the trend. I mean, early on, there was an immediate spike in that price when they opened at Seattle 2.5. That was mostly during like the fourth quarter of the AFC Championship game. It was pretty sure New England was going to win, so they already posted a number then. And by the end of that game, that was bet down to pick them at most spots. They moved the price pretty quick, and New England was then moved to 1. At some point, it looked the first week or so the tickets were running about 5-2 in favor of New England. By the end, about 60% of the tickets roughly were New England tickets. So there was more movement towards Seattle late, but there were still more people betting on the Patriots as kickoff approached for Super Bowl 49.
With Kentucky, the only undefeated team left, right, in the Power 5 tray? Or, Joe, I think that's right. Vegas say as far as who's that next group? Virginia, Wisconsin, Villanova, Gonzaga. Who are some of that next tier right there?
Those named plus Duke. I think Duke opened up some eyes with a comeback win against Virginia the other night. So obviously, they're going to be in that mix. But Kentucky's the pretty clear favorite. I don't have the updated odds to win the championship. I mean, they're a pretty clear favorite, and a lot of people still think they're going to go undefeated, which they certainly might. But in that second group, I think those teams you mentioned, Gonzaga, would be in there, certainly, Duke, Villanova, Virginia. Virginia also bounced back very nicely after its loss against Duke. And that game, boy, the Cavs looked like they had that in the bag until Duke started hitting all those threes. I was very impressed how Virginia bounced back and handled North Carolina without too much trouble on Monday night.
Bruce, when you look across the country right now at the landscape of college basketball, and I know a lot of people have said, well, the SEC is down, but it could be parity in the SEC besides maybe the bottom three schools. Because you look at the standings right now, and everybody, it's Kentucky and basically everybody else, except maybe South Carolina and Vanderbilt.
Well, yeah, and then it goes Vanderbilt last
night. They beat
South
Florida
Carolina's
last
still
night.
Hanging in, although they did get whipped by the Hogs last night, and Vanderbilt did beat Florida. But I think this is a 5 or 6 bid league, I still think. Right now, I mean, I think LSU and Arkansas you can project into the dance. I think you can project Texas A&M in there. And beyond that, it'll be kind of tight. Georgia's in the mix. Alabama's still in the mix. This is a 5 or 6 bid league, I think, this year. And the other dynamic you want to watch, mid-majors this year, unless there are some upsets in their tournaments, and I'm not sure there are any of those teams except maybe Wichita, Northern Iowa, and the Missouri Valley, San Diego State in the Mountain West, that would certainly get at large as if they lost in their conference tournament. But you're not going to have as much at large representation this year. There's going to be more room for the SEC to sneak an extra team or two in there, Big 12, Big 10, and so forth.
It's been kind of quiet, it seems, in the NBA landscape. Cleveland finally getting it together, going on a run. Atlanta with their 19-game win streak. How does Vegas feel about Atlanta? I'm just haven't bought into Atlanta. I think they're just a kind of a good story, but I don't really see them making it past maybe like one round in the NBA playoffs.
Well, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, how strong the East is. I think the East has been a little bit underrated. I think Atlanta's pretty legit, although the numbers have caught up with the Hawks. They've now failed to also cover four straight after, you know, they had not only won all those games in a row, but covered so many in a row, and then they finally started to drop some point spread decisions and then lost the other night. I still think maybe they're one player short. Cleveland's a pretty good story right now, the way they've turned things around since LeBron came back. Washington, interesting. Although I would point out, you know, the Wizards are kind of wobbling right now. Not coincidentally, I think, when they announced that Kanye West had been hired to redesign their uniforms. I think their uniforms are fine right now, and I think they're very upset at the thought of Kanye and Kim redesigning an already good uniform.
Maybe they can get Bruce Jenner.
Yeah, there you go.
Bruce Ann, yeah.
That would do it. You know, they've wobbled a bit lately here, too. So, I hear what you're saying about Atlanta, and they have cooled off a little bit here in the last week.
Looking at the West, with Golden State, LaMarcus Aldridge not going to have his surgery. The Spurs just seem to be content with making it into the playoffs. I don't know what's going on with Dallas. I thought the Rondo pickup was a great move for him. They haven't really been all that great, I guess. I mean, they've been okay. Who do you like out of the West?
West is interesting, and there's one interesting angle in the West, and that's Oklahoma City, which is going to have to scrap to get into the playoffs.
They got to stay healthy, yeah.
Got to stay healthy, but if they do, and they come in there at an 8, boy, and that's
what
that
a
is
matchup,
a
yeah,
dangerous matchup for who's ever won, and it looks like that might be Golden State. Right now, they would not like to face Oklahoma City. Nobody would if they didn't have to. They'd much rather take their chances against Phoenix or someone like that. But Oklahoma City is, I think, the X factor, and there's also no guarantee they're going to make the playoffs because the injury thing has popped up all year for them. That's what I would watch in the West, how these teams are going to stay healthy. You know, Dwight Howard is hurting right now. This could end up negatively impacting Houston. Anthony Davis in and out. He seems to get hurt a lot for New Orleans. If he's in there, I think they can make a run at that last spot. They're ninth right now. They're a little ahead of Oklahoma City, a little bit behind Phoenix. They could make a run. They'd like to get Drew Holiday back, and they will in a couple weeks. But injuries mean a lot there. Rondo is out right now for Dallas. He'll come back by the weekend. But the question about him, you know, how strong he is going to be and how much he can help that team is up in the air still, too. And Golden State, I would maintain, the guy nobody seems to talk about much is Andrew Bogut. If they're going to make a deep run in the playoffs, they got to keep him healthy, which he is right now. But his past history is very checkered as far as being healthy. So I think watch the injury wire a lot in the West. That's going to determine you know, who's going to be able to make a run after the All-Star break.
If I'm Golden State, Bogut, with his history, he's getting up there in age, David Lee as well. I'm not playing them every night. They're taking minimum 10 games off a year. I'm going to try to protect their legs because I'm with you. You got to have those guys healthy to have any type of inside presence because the way Klay Thompson and Steph Curry are just dominant right now, you need somebody inside, and you can't guard Steph Curry or Klay Thompson right now.
You can't, and I mean, they're such a dynamic pair, but to be a complete team, I think they need those bigs, like you
no
say.
No question, yeah.
And Bogut on the boards and on defense, too. I mean, he's a good impediment there for opposing bigs in the key. So that's going to be very important for Golden State, and I wouldn't be surprised if Steve Kerr does goes Greg Popovich here in the last 2 months of the regular season and really spots those guys accordingly as they ramp up to the playoffs.
Bruce, back to the NCAA. When it's all said and done, who are your final number one seeds, and what seed do you think Arkansas has up through this point right now in the season?
Arkansas is probably in the 5-6 range now. I'm not sure beyond Kentucky there's going to be a protected seed, a 1-4 out of the SEC, maybe. Maybe Arkansas has a shot to get to a 4. LSU still might if they can turn some things around. But I think the Hogs are probably looking at a 5-6, LSU 6-7. So forth in the SEC. Kentucky's is going to be a 1. I'm almost sure Gonzaga is going to be a 1 in the West because I'm not sure anybody's going to beat them in the WCC. and Arizona's lost a few, so I think they'll keep Gonzaga out west as a one. The other ones, I mean, it could be Duke and Virginia. Villanova's going to have something to say about that. I think, you know, the ACC, I think there's a few more banana peels there. So only one of Virginia or Duke will get a one, I think, if I project now. And I have Villanova getting the other number one with a little bit easier road in the Big East, although they could still, again, there's a couple banana peels in the Big East, too.
What about Wisconsin?
Yeah, Wisconsin could be in the mix, too. They've got a couple of losses, but I think they could certainly be in the mix, somebody out of the Big Ten. But, I think the Big Ten, there's some banana peels out there in the Big Ten, too. And if they win their conference tournament, they'll certainly have a shot. They'd be right there close to Villanova. But right now I'll have them at a two seat.
Bruce, as always, we appreciate it.
All right, take care, guys. Have a good week.